It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that is why, even though they were all named Jasper, they legally were required to call themselves Tony, Tony, Tony. It's weird, I know.
I just don't think the government should get involved in stuff like that.
You know, back in the day, hip-hop was still finding its way. It was weird. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that has not one, but two hosts that were the main inspiration for Street Fighter characters.
Which we didn't know when we first started.
No. I mean, most people can tell. If you take away the green skin and the red hair, I'm clearly Blanca.
Right. But, yeah. I mean, we started working together, and just one day we were talking about it. And
we didn't know about each other. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. Coincidence.
For those wondering, William, it was the inspiration for Dalsim, the guy who shoots fire and, like, his legs and arms grow and stuff.
Actually, I was never sure exactly who I was the inspiration for.
No, it was clearly him. Yeah. Like, the number of times you go around and say, "You're a fire!"
I mean,
no reason.
I talked to their people, and I did some voiceover stuff, but I didn't really know what it was
mine,
all about.
No, mine, I was completely ripped off of mine.
Okay.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 264.
264. So, apparently, we did pretty poorly with our last episode. Or
we
more
did?
Specifically, we did pretty poorly with about the last 20 minutes of our episode. Because during the last 20 minutes, basically two things were happening.
Okay.
One is you were talking on and on and on about politics. The other is I was eating into the microphone. So pretty much between those,
that's a bad combination.
We alienated a huge chunk of our audience. Which is to say, like, three people. So, sorry about that. I'm no longer allowed to eat on the thing. It didn't occur to me, because I used to eat, and I feel like it probably wasn't as big a deal, because I could just turn away from the microphone. The microphone is now a couple inches away from my mouth. It can't really be moved. And that didn't occur to me, so now it has, so I won't do that anymore. So when the food shows up tonight, I won't eat it.
Okay.
Which, too bad, is fried chicken. I was going to offer some to William. for those of you just joining us, what's up, kitten? How you feel? Twiglet's here and needs love. Ezzy wants love, too. She's headbutting William, trying to get him to pet her. For those of you just joining us in episode 264, let me give you a basic rundown of how the show works. The rest of you, go ahead and sing along at home. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People like yourselves write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. No big whoop. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's exceedingly running out of E-words servants. Not even a chuckle out of that, really? Nothing? Alright.
Sorry.
Draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That is the entire show. Except tonight, in which case it's pretty much going to be an hour about how much William hated Batman vs. Superman.
No, I'm not going to do that.
What's funny to me is, so you saw that, I sent you that thing from Trish, that was the 19 glaringly insane things about it, and I have read many reviews of the movie now, I have not seen the movie, they're all pretty much complaining about the same stuff, and it's basically the stuff that I don't usually see that with movies. Like, different critics like this aspect and didn't like this aspect, which makes sense, you know, different people, different things and stuff. Mm-hmm. No, most of the complaints I hear are pretty much all within the same list, mm-hmm. which is pretty much that list that you got sent.
Pretty much.
It's awful, people. but apparently most of you know that, because apparently the whole freaking world's going to see it.
Well, as I pointed out in our email conversation, I noticed... I've seen it now a couple places, not just Wikipedia, where it had the film had the worst revenue drop-off weekend of any superhero film in recent box office history, with the last film that did that being the most recent, the 2015 Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. Apparently it had a fairly strong Friday or whatever opening.
And then those people...
Told all their friends not to go see it. And then there was a big drop-off. But Batman versus Superman's drop-off was bigger.
But it's still making insane amounts of money, yeah.
Yeah, to be fair, it's still making
Well, and the real test will be this weekend. Although there's not a lot that it's competing against.
I suppose so. Well, and that's part of it. I mean, you've got a film that most... I mean, there's not a lot out there else to watch. It's something that everyone feels like it's going to at least be worth... the money to see the special effects and whatever else. I mean, even if they don't like the movie that much, most people's expectations are probably not that high in the first place. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it. You and I, when we go to a superhero movie, we probably have certain things we want to see, certain expectations for story and so on. But a lot of people don't really have that much respect for comic book stories or characters. So all they really want to see is two costumed, big name actors fighting each other, which is, I guess, what you get.
Instead, they got one and Henry Cavill.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's actually a small number of people that go to these things who actually care about the characters or the story in the first place.
Even smaller when it's like this.
But
you guys should have seen William's emails this week. Like, it was sad. Like, if it was anybody else, I would imagine they were being typed from the floor with just like 2.5 empty bourbon bottles around.
Well, look.
I mean, not that I blame you. Not that I don't think that's an appropriate response to this.
I saw it on Monday. I was going to mention when you asked me about my week. I saw it on Monday. We weren't going to see it until Tuesday, but our Monday evening opened up, so we just went. But it wasn't. There weren't very many people in the theater. I mean, it wasn't empty or anything, but it wasn't what you would expect on the first Monday after opening.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk very much about it because people might still want to see it and spoilers and
spoiler
all that
alert,
stuff.
It's bad.
But
although realistically, there is only one thing that is not spoiled by the trailer itself. So,
well, that's kind of true. I mean,
and it's really half a thing. If you know enough about the comics, it's spoiled. Also,
there is something that that is something that's true, and I suspected it would be true that if you've seen the trailers, all of the trailers, you've pretty much seen the whole movie. There's not really a lot else to say about it besides that.
Except the trailers do not properly show. We once again get to see Bruce Wayne's parents get killed in flashback, but still.
Well, my biggest problem with Man of Steel and this one, same basic problem, which is
Zack Snyder.
The characters are not likable, and I'm now convinced that Snyder and the right Goyer in this case, I guess, and a few other people, I don't remember who wrote the first one, that they don't even care if the characters are likable. In the case of Superman, I'm not so sure they like Superman.
There's an argument that they're trying to be very serious and gritty so that they can be in opposition to Marvel. But
I mean, look at some of their source material was clearly Batman Returns.
Dark Knight Returns. The Death of Superman, or I forget what it's called.
Dark Knight Returns is obviously one of the major pieces, and Frank Miller wrote that. And Frank Miller hates Superman, and you can tell by Dark Knight Returns that he hates Superman. I mean, you know, if you didn't hear Frank Miller say that, which I have heard him say in interviews,
yes,
you'd know it just by reading that comic. And that comes out in this movie, but it kind of comes out in the first movie too. And I realized, you know what? I'll bet Zack Snyder also does not like Superman and doesn't care if his audience likes Superman. But Batman is also thoroughly unlikable.
And stupid. That's the big one that's happening. The only useful thing about Batman really is that he's very smart, and in this he's very stupid.
Yeah, Ben Affleck does a fine enough job in the role, but it's just the character is poorly drawn and poorly everything
about Jesse Eisenberg really steps out and does a unique and different Lex Luthor, but apparently it's a really terrible one.
Yeah, I was not impressed with it at all. So, you know,
apparently Wonder Woman was good, but was on screen for like 90 seconds.
There wasn't anything about, well, I shouldn't say anything. Her costuming was pretty ridiculous throughout the thing, but not, I mean, you know. I'll just say that there's a thousand ways they could have made Wonder Woman's role in the film terrible, and it wasn't terrible. Mm-hmm. And who knows what.
No, and some critics have, like, by comparison, said, like, that was the part I liked, were the times when Wonder Woman was she did a really good job.
I read somewhere, I guess Fandango...
Her character was the only one that seemed like a superhero.
Yeah. I guess Fandango... well, and I would say her character was also somewhat likable, even though you didn't really get to know her very much.
Yeah.
So, in a way, that doesn't count. But I think Fandango, they did the... For the people who pre-bought tickets, which that was a big part of the high revenue they got from opening night, was pre-bought tickets, yeah. And they have a survey or something they do about what people are most looking forward to in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And like 88% of the people were most looking forward to seeing Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. And
if they make it not suck, it would be awesome.
Yeah,
it would
be a good thing.
If Wonder Woman could the Wonder Woman movie could actually teach them something.
But you know, the director, Jenkins, right? Patty Jenkins, is that right?
Wonder Woman?
Director's name? She directed Monster. She wrote and directed Monster. And Monster was good.
Monster, the Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
All right.
It was good. But they were talking to her about the film, and someone found out that the Amazons on Themyscira, you know, Paradise Island is what it used to be called, are, you know, high heels is going to be part of their, you know, fashion sensibility.
That only makes sense if they're anthropomorphic rabbits.
and so people were thinking that, I mean, it, you know, women living by themselves for thousands of years, you know, and starting in an era before high heels, would they really invent those for themselves and wear those? I mean, that,
yes, because they wanted to look hot.
That seems a little strange. Well, see, that's kind of what the director said. When she was asked about it, she said, well, you know, this is what she said. She said, well, I'm paraphrasing. She said, you know, for men, you know, the power fantasy for men is, you know, big, muscly, whatever. Well, this is my fantasy or power fantasy for these women or whatever is that they wear high heels because it makes their legs look better. They look nicer. They look hotter or whatever is what she was saying. So she was comparing putting a woman in high heels with portraying a man with a lot of muscles and
but whatever. The way you phrased it here and the way you phrased it when we talked about it earlier, she is, I will give her credit for this, specifically owning it as her thing.
No, agreed, yes.
Because no other, Zack Snyder, when he's explaining shit, he's never like, no, I'm just into that thing.
No, that's he did say that about Sucker Punch. He said,
well, yeah, Sucker Punch was supposed to be his.
He said, this is a, you know, 12-year-old boy fantasy about the way I'm presenting and dressing these women. He said that.
Well, he was not wrong about that.
But what bothers me about that is, you know, if this were any other movie, wouldn't care. But it's Wonder Woman, you know, feminist icon. And the last thing you want to hear the director talking about is, you know, we're gonna take the gender binary and we're just gonna totally reaffirm that in how we design these characters and how we treat this place.
There's a problem with this here, and I don't know how I'm gonna break this to you. I've never done it before, but I feel like it's necessary here. I do not question your assertion that Wonder Woman is a feminist icon. However, she is simultaneously for lack of a better term, an anti-feminist icon. There has been so much, not through no fault of her own, mostly because she's not a real person, but, I mean, so much sexualization and tropes have just swum all around her that are equally of note within the society.
Which makes it all the more important today when you're giving her her first ever real feature film treatment for you to move away from that sort of thing and move toward the more feminist aspect.
Absolutely, man. And now we're back into our standard argument. You are correct. It is more important. However, it makes it incredibly unsurprising that that doesn't happen, well, even with a female director.
Well, now here's what I'll say, though. I'm glad there's a female director. I mean, it's just because there aren't enough female directors, period.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Forget about it being a Wonder Woman movie. Just having another female director, and a good one. I mean, I like Monster. She wrote it. She directed it. It's great. But with Wonder Woman, you know, I personally would like to see, obviously, I mean, I'm sure everybody knows this, I would like to see something that is, you know, feminist and make some statement, feminist statement. And to know that in the art direction of the film, we're not even going to challenge really gender binary. In fact, we're going to sort of reinforce it with certain elements. That's a little disappointing. But that doesn't mean it's going to be awful, though.
No, but this might be another thing that I have to break it to you. Anything that you would like to see in either TV or movies, anything, ever, will never happen. And this is not to everybody. I'm specifically telling William.
No, but here's another thing.
I was trying to explain it the other day, where I was trying to explain to my gaming group about how you were inventing this little mini Justice League with the TV.
Oh, yeah, boy.
And they're like,
awesome.
Oh my God, what is he thinking? And I was like, no, you don't even know. I was like, he has a goddamn Blue Lantern in this.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, Lisa's super pissed off at you about, because Lisa hates the emotional spectrum shit.
Oh, no,
anyway.
I like it.
But I was just like, that's how completely divorced from anything that would happen in reality William's ideas are. Like, that's...
So?
I mean, so many aspects of that, it would never happen.
Yeah, but so
but
what?
That one, I'm like, really?
It's called dreaming.
I know, but you always sound both hopeful and sad, like,
so?
Before and after. Well,
this doesn't bother me. I mean, it bothers me, but it's not like I'm
crying. I know, but
I'm
trying to
home,
save you the thing by saying... Process it all now, because it's never going to happen. Think of all the things you'll ever want to happen in TV and movies, and mourn the fact that they don't happen.
No, that's not true.
Now, and
that's,
get it
that's
out of the
that's
way.
That's not true. Well, another thing was they released a production. It wasn't really a production. It was a kind of like a promotional still, a photo of four of the people that are going to be in the film. Gal Gadot is one of them. Robin Wright's one of them. And
I didn't recognize her.
The armor, you know, it's kind of funny because one of the things
armor could be a lot worse.
Yes, it could.
It's
also
not
be a lot
great.
Better.
Yes.
I mean, it's been an internet thing. Like male commentators are saying, "Look, you guys, don't make armor like this because it's stupid to have the armor." Sink in between a woman's breasts, because all you have to do is, like, you know, hit the breastplate and you've got this wedge that's going to go right into the sternum, you know, which, duh.
Among many, many
other problems. But you look at and this is supposed to be a warrior society, and you look at the armor they're going to be wearing in the film, and it breaks all of those rules.
Everybody talks about that. Nobody ever changes that, though.
Well, no,
all the jokes, like, associated with what the female armor looks like in World of Warcraft, female armor in World of Warcraft hasn't changed. I've seen so many comics
like
and jokes about
it. It's changed in video games. Armor's not like that in Dragon Age, for example.
All right, I'll give you Dragon Age, although I think I could find some examples in Dragon Age.
I don't remember any.
But it is in a lot of other video games.
Playing
Diablo 3. That's ridiculous.
There's one of the characters doesn't. A lot of what she wears is revealing, but she's not actually wearing armor at all. It's one of the mage characters. But once you put armor on her, it's not like that. It's all you know, covers
well,
everything.
Well, I haven't played the latest one. I remembered some of that in the previous one.
Well, and I'm sure what the director will say, and what anyone will say, is that, yeah, well, in the comic books, the armor that the Amazons wear is like this. And yeah.
Wonder Woman's outfit's pretty ridiculous to begin with.
Yeah, so, and I get that. And, you know, again, none of this means that the movie's going to be terrible.
No, you're going to be disappointed, though.
Give me a lot of confidence. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be disappointed.
I do.
And I don't have a problem being hopeful about things. I guess I'm often disappointed, but it's not like crushing or something. I'd sooner have hope. And also, as a creator myself, I want to have an idea of... I want to form an idea of what I would like to create, not just what I would like to see. I mean, you know...
Well, that's what you... There is a caveat to my pronouncement. You will never see any of that in TV or movie, anything you want to see, unless you end up creating it, which I still believe is totally feasible.
Well, you know, I guess it kind of goes back to things like, you know, before women got the right to vote, there were a lot of disappointed women for a really, really long time.
Yes.
I mean, that's what happens. When you want things to progress, you're going to be disappointed a lot. And maybe you're going to be one of those people that's disappointed your whole life. But if you don't just hope, but you do something about it, then you're going to build something that the people after you will be able to build on and build on. And eventually, someone is not just going to be disappointed. They're going to be happy with it.
And again, I'm just talking specifically about you. I totally think you should do something about it while no longer hoping. I want to kill your hope.
Why is wrong with hope? Why are you so down on
No, it's
hopeful?
Not. No, I'm not opposed to hope. I'm saying I have, you know, in general, I'm not a person of faith anymore. I have a ridiculous amount of faith that you're never, like, the number of times where, like, you know what would be awesome, or you know what I would like to see, and what you say is not only not what happens, but, like, not on a spectrum. Like, I guarantee you, in the development of said movie or TV show, there was not even an offhand conversation that remotely floated an idea that looked anything like what you wanted.
It doesn't matter, because I achieved two things by dreaming up this stuff and hoping for it. One is, I think it's fun, actually, to hope for it. I mean, the disappointment I feel doesn't cancel out the fun I had in coming up with it. And the second thing is, I get a better idea of what I want to do and what I want to make. So,
well, I still think that.
I win two times over even if I get disappointed.
I still like the idea that you decide how you want it to go and then that's how you try and create stuff. But, and I think that it ultimately, I think it's a semantic thing, because if you're like, how it should be is blah, 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 I'd be like, yeah, no, that'd be cool. But you're always like, wouldn't it be neat if, or I'm hoping maybe, and I'm like, no, it's never going to happen.
But it doesn't harm me.
No, but it's like people hoping they win the lottery. I'm like, oh, you poor fuckers.
Well, I don't know.
And you keep spending your emotional dollar every week. And I'm like, it's not a lot of money, but you could be saving it for something else.
Really? What else would I save it for?
Porn.
I don't feel emotionally impoverished by hoping for things. Like I said, I get something out of hoping, so it's like it doesn't take
maybe
anything at all.
Maybe it's just me then. Watching you hope is kind of like seeing the Disney thing right when Bambi finds her mother, or is it his mother? Is Bambi a boy or a girl?
It's a him, yeah. It's Bambi's a male.
I'm never sure. Because it's a deer, you know?
Okay, but I
it's
do
like that. I'm just like, oh, honey.
I do find that other people's perspective on hope is quite different from mine. Whenever I hear people talk about hope, it always sounds like such a terrible thing, especially when it sounds like something that, like you said, it's this emotional thing that it's like an emotional gamble that when you lose is devastating. Which that's not how I experience hope. Hope for me is exuberant. It's joyful, and then when I'm disappointed, it doesn't take any of that away, or at least it doesn't take all of it away. There's plenty left there where, oh, well, you know, that was fun to think about anyway. And, well, it is kind of like the lottery for some people. I know some people, you know, they like to fantasize about what they're going to do, and then when they lose, it's not like some big crushing thing, because they had a lot of fun thinking about what they do and talking about what they do.
Yeah, I think about what I'd do if I won the lottery, too. I don't buy a ticket.
Well, I'm just saying that hope is not always this thing that when it doesn't happen, it's so crushing you can never hope again.
No, just when you do it.
No, not when I. That's I'm no, saying I'm it's saying not that when I do it.
When it does, when it is crushed, I can never hope again. I'm saying when you.
Okay, whatever. Just talk about your week.
I got nothing. Not much happened this week.
Okay, well,
it's been pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, I've seen a couple movies, but they were shitty movies on Amazon Prime.
Did you build any more robots?
Surprisingly, no. I did get a couple new settlements. I did shell a Myrler queen from the air. That was kind of fun.
You said that, but I... Or in the email, you said that.
Yeah.
As soon as we were able to build robots, we were building robots.
I know. As soon as I was able to build robots, I built a robot. And then later, I adjusted it a couple times, but I don't know. I haven't built more. I think it's that whole stinginess with the resource thing, but I don't know. I'm planning soon. I think as soon as I finish Battle of Bunker Hill and then lie my ass off.
We've got a ton of resources. I mean, you were talking about how...
I do have a lot of resources.
You were talking about how you're like one level ahead of my wife.
Which is weird as hell.
But she's like played like, what, 100 hours more.
150 more or something, yeah.
And what she's got for that extra time is resource time. I mean, she could just make robots forever.
Well, and I have tons of I mean, I'll have times when I'm going to build a heavy machine gun turret, and it's like, you can only build 49 of them. But then, like, an hour later, you're out of ceramic. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, all the time. So, I have tons of resources, but then periodically I'm just out of one important thing.
Well, and you still got a lot of caps, too. So if she ever runs out of anything, she goes to the shop, buys
shit tons of money.
Yeah, buys a shipment. So.
And the funny thing is, I sell almost nothing anymore. Because I tear everything down
break
for
it
resources.
Down. Sure.
But I'm still getting tons of money because of all the shops.
Mm-hmm.
I have at least like 3 shops at every settlement.
Yeah.
So anytime I visit, go over to the workshop, oh, look, a couple thousand caps waiting for me.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, crazy amounts of money. But I'm sensing the end. I think I've still got, you know, maybe as much as 100 hours before I'll be done. But, like, I'm feeling like I'm on the downward slope for this game. And I'm starting to actually ponder what I might play next. Although, I'm at least probably going to wait till the next 2 DLCs come out. But I don't know. Depending on how it goes, it's possible I would put it aside for a while, and then when Far Harbor comes out, I'll play it. But we'll see. And also, I'm still not super clear on what the second DLC is like. All I know is expansion of the building system, which is the one thing we really didn't need, and specifically involving cages, and you can
put animals in them.
Cages, or people.
Yeah, or people.
And I'm like, okay, those 2 things do not make me excited for that DLC, so we'll see what happens. But this one's been awesome, so... but yeah, not too much else has been going on this week.
Yeah, seeing that film was kind of the biggest thing. I mean, we've been watching the regular TV shows and stuff.
Saw a preview for Keanu the other day, still excited about that.
Yeah, we've been seeing those previews too, and my wife just thinks they're hilarious.
I am excited. I was kind of into it when I just assumed that it was a Key and Peele movie that was just their show, but, you know, feature length, their sketch comedy show. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that sounds fun, I'll watch that. But now I'm like, oh, hell no, I'm going to see this. This is going to be awesome.
And we finished Rebels season.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Rebels is pretty good.
Today I found out today that George Lucas had a really cool character in Star Wars that he played.
That he played?
Yes. So...
Are you making this up?
No. So, he did a cameo in Revenge of the Sith, I believe.
Oh.
That, like, you can't tell unless you know. Because he's all blue, and he's in an elaborate outfit, and he's on screen for just, like, 2 seconds. But he's there. Fine. Whatever. Later, while he's still running things, it must have been in Clone Wars then, he created a whole backstory and had a whole episode that was an adventure of this guy. And apparently the guy was a pretty big badass. He had to go, like, rescue his daughter or something. And so he invented this whole thing, and it's the George Lucas character.
With Twi'lek?
He's blue. No, no, he's not a Twi'lek. He's not. I don't think he's any species that we're super familiar with. He had his beard still, and he was blue-skinned.
I do not remember that. From Clone Wars?
I don't know for sure. From one of the canon Star Wars cartoons.
Well, then there's only the two.
There you go.
Boy, I remember that. Don't remember.
He remembers. No, it was a correct article about ridiculous cameos that directors have had.
So did you say you could get the old Knights of the Old Republic on tablet?
You used to be able to, yeah.
How do you play it on a tablet?
Same way most things. Basically, the controls become spots on the screen.
Hmm.
Like, I play Bard's Tale on my Kindle, and what would be the thumbsticks are just spots on the tablet, and so I go like this, and it's the same thing. And then there's, you know, buttons and places and stuff.
Hmm.
This was a while ago, so I don't know. I assume it's still out there. I don't know why they would take it away.
I just heard they were going to re-release it on console, and I...
Which they might be. This happened, like, a year or two ago. This is a long time ago, so...
Because we really did like that game, I remember when we played
it. It's an awesome game.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Did you guys ever play Jade Empire?
No.
Well, also a good game. Same, still BioWare, a lot of similarities.
But can you play it on... Was it only an Xbox release?
No, something? No, they had a PC version, too.
Oh, we wouldn't have played it on PC.
But it was pretty good. It was very similar in gameplay to the Knights of the Old Republic ones, except real-time martial arts combat. But very accessible. I'm not very good at that stuff normally, and I did fine. That's one of those games I actually beat twice. Once as a good guy, once as a bad guy. And that's also the game that the second time through, I tried to get the gay male romance and failed, because they technically had a gay male romance in that game, but basically to get it, you had to avoid talking to most people for a while. Basically, you had to, like, not have any interactions with the female characters, and eventually the male character would comment that he notices you don't talk to the ladies. And so I screwed it up and had just, like, friendly talks with them, and so it never happened.
Are you going to play Uncharted? Have you ever played Uncharted?
Long time ago, I played the first Uncharted for a while and then stopped because I was annoyed, I think, mostly by the combat. And now, technically, the PS4 I got came with the PS4 version of Uncharted 1, 2, and 3.
Ooh.
Like, together. So, at some point, in theory, I'll play that and then the other ones, but we'll see.
Well, there's just going to be one coming out.
Well, yeah, but there's also another that's already out. There's the Chronicles or whatever.
Oh, I don't think I know about that.
There's one in between that I think is just a series of, like, flashbacks to early parts in his life and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. Those never did. I also never played any Tomb Raider games.
Yeah, it seems like we got one or two Tomb Raider games, like used ones or something, for PS2 and didn't really like them.
Well, the PS2 era was right when they were making really shitty Tomb Raider games.
Mm.
There's been a phase where it's gone up and down. In general, those, I don't know what you call them, action puzzler games? Not my kind of thing. Very much Trisha's kind of thing. Mm. To the degree, even, that I didn't even finish the first God of War. And I think it was just there were too many puzzles that I didn't really care about.
Mm.
So, that... things.
Okay, hat things.
Hat things. If you'd like your hat things right on the air, email the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. What do we got? Who's it from? What's going on?
Anonymous.
International question. International question.
We don't know if it's an international question.
Although it's not our song.
No. What was your very first online username /handle and why? Seems like we've talked about this before. My very first online username /handle was Ozone.
So it wasn't until after he went to school that you became a professor.
It was Profozone when I tried to get on other places and Ozone was already taken.
Ah.
Hey. How's it going?
Good.
I'm doing fantastic.
Well, good.
And he never felt as good as he does right now, except for maybe when he thinks of how he felt that day, when he felt the way that he does right now. Right now. Right now.
On MSN, I was...
Trish, Beats is here.
On MSN, I was Dr. Ozone.
Oh.
I did Dr. Ozone before Professor Ozone.
You say on MSN you were Dr. Ozone as though... Now, I imagine that on MSN, the TV channel, like, you were, like, their medical correspondent or something.
No.
Trish, did you hear there's pizza? Okay.
But then I think... Let's see. So the first time I tried to get on someplace where Ozone was already taken, Dr. Ozone was what I did. And then I think Dr. Ozone was taken somewhere else, or I forgot my password, so I changed it to Profozone, and then that's what it's been ever since.
It's not like CMA Ozone, or...
No, I think it was...
Licensed Contractor Ozone.
No. Because wherever I go, nobody's got using Profozone except me.
No. So it's not Professor Ozone, it's Profozone. Welcome to the Profozone.
I mean, if there's, you know, capital letters and small letters or whatever, it's capital P-R-O-F, capital O-Z-O-N-E. Mm. And ozone came from a dream I had where...
No, ozone was already a word.
The reason I used that name was because I had a dream that I was... This was back in college, I mean, like 80-something, 88 maybe. No, probably 87. And just the night before, I had this dream that at that time I was writing songs a lot with my songwriting partner, Chris Snook. We still
work, Pilot Fish.
We still do work together and stuff now, but back then we were doing it quite a bit more. And I just had this dream that we were doing a concert together. You know, just the dream didn't really mean anything, except I was wearing this shirt that said, "Save the Ozone" on it.
Oh.
And it's part of the dream, people started calling me that. It was, and when I woke up, I thought, why would they call me that? And I realized I was thinking about how, Sting wasn't Sting until he wore a black and yellow jacket or whatever. So my brain was thinking that or something while I was sleeping. And I thought that was really funny. Well, and so I think I was telling that story to people or something. And it just by coincidence, that day, I was getting on to the computer system and stuff, someone told me about the local bulletin board system here at the university and said I should log on to it. I said, oh, okay, and I started to do that. This is where you need to put, like, a nickname or a handle in here, you know, like CB radio people have handles and stuff. That's mm-hmm. what this is like. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, I don't know what to do. And I was just telling people this story because I was amused by it. I thought, okay, I'll just put ozone in here. And that's just what I've gone with forever. And I've said in, when people have asked about names that we use for video games, same thing. I'll use ozone or whatever.
It's really, really good that dream went the way it did, because otherwise today you could be sitting there with a handle, Professor Save.
Or anything else.
That would have been weird. Professor The.
Well, it was just something I did sort of spur of the moment while I was creating this account. It didn't have to be like the only name I've used in 30 years, but it is, so.
Yeah.
Because I'm boring.
I had the same one for a long time. Mine is quite an interesting story. By interesting, I mean not so much interesting as long and rambling. So, and it all goes back to role-playing games, because of course it does. So, I, as I believe I mentioned before, started role-playing games real early. Played D&D when I was 6 with my neighbor. We were not good at it. It did not go well. But we played it for a while, and eventually we stopped. And then I didn't play for quite a while. I ended up playing with some friends, like, once in junior high. Because I had junior high friends who were playing, like, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons and stuff. And so I remember playing that one time, but I didn't really play. And then one day, would have been in 91.
I graduated from college in 91.
I started high school in 91. My friends come over to my house, and they're like, "We have something." And I'm like, "What?" They're like, it's a new role-playing game. And I'm like, okay. They're like, it's not D&D. It's modern day. And you play vampires. Like, you are the you're not fighting vampires. You are the vampires.
Is this White Wolf stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that, I mean, for all the shit we all want to give White Wolf for the direction they went and everything like that, which is fair, they were fucking game changers. When Vampire came out, it was an absolute game changer to role-playing games. A lot of the stuff in Vampire now that looks super cliche was not at the time, because other people hadn't all copied it. Mm-hmm. Now, admittedly, it stole a lot of shit from Anne Rice and stuff like that, but as a role-playing game, like, that was amazing. We got way into that. And the very first character I played, I don't even remember why exactly, I named him Aristotle. And it was a pseudonym, but, like, he was very, very old, so it was the only name he had now. But that was the name. And I don't remember why. At that point, I did not know, like, I hadn't read a lot of Aristotle or anything. To me, he was a famous philosopher, and calling somebody Socrates or Plato sounded stupider. Aristotle was a cooler sounding name. So I went with that. And then just around this time was when I really discovered bulletin board systems as well. So I can't swear to you that the character came before the username, but they were very close. And so I called myself Aristotle. And that went for years and years and years and years and years. In very rare cases, I would find place where the name was taken. And then I switched. I believe I switched to Pericles because it seemed of a time, you know. It seemed Hellenic. And I was big into Shakespeare when I was younger. And I'm pretty sure I had recently seen or read Pericles, Prince of Tyre. So, but yeah, Aristotle for many, 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 many years. And in fact, I just found the other day my friend's drawing of that character, because he was a big artist in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny looking now, because it was very early 80s, what a kid in my situation would think is cool. The guy, he was an older gentleman, but he didn't look real because he's a vampire. He had long white hair, and he wore a big old trench coat everywhere. And, in fact, one Halloween, I dressed up as Connor McLeod from Highlander.
The McLean McLeod?
Yes. And from Highlander. And because I had, I was one of the trench coat wearing kids. Oh my God, I was such a trench coat wearing kid. And so I wore that, and I wore my trench coat, and my hair was short, because Connor McLeod had short hair in Highlander.
From McLean McLeod.
Yeah. In the first movie, he had short hair. And then, with a little help from my parents, I actually made something that looked pretty close to his katana. Mm. It was kind of cool.
Mm.
That was not, you know, it was not an actual weapon. I believe we took some piece of thin metal and then covered it in cardboard so we could shape it to look like a sword blade.
Mm-hmm.
It was very cool. But that was another thing. Aristotle, the vampire character, also carried a rapier with him all the time. He was a swordsman. So that was the thing. So I show up to the Halloween party in question, and I show it to my friend, who's also from my gaming group, I'm like, check it out! Because we were all kind of into Highlander at the time, and he looks at me and goes, fuck you! And I was like, what? And it turned out he thought I was dressing up as my vampire character, which even at that age would have been a bullshit move. I dressed up for Halloween as my own character from a role-playing game. Yeah, no, that would not. At the time, I was even like, come on, give me some credit. He's like, sorry. But it was at the time I was like, wow, there's a lot of similarities here. So yeah, Aristotle was a big one for many, 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 many years. Nowadays it's Pukatooka, pretty much everywhere, which is a pet name Trish has for me, which is based off of a title of a Jamie Oliver cookbook. And I believe it is an Australian phrase. I believe it is properly pronounced Pukatooka, and it means good food, I believe. But we say Pukatooka, and that's what she calls me, and that's what I've used. And I mean, that's what I used on the Happy Jacks forum. So, like, when they would talk about me on the podcast, which they did on occasion, they call me Pukatooka and stuff. So that's a common one that I have there. Yeah, it's funny how your priorities for such things can change. When I was younger, I wanted something that sounded cool. Nowadays, I'm like, I want something that is unlikely to have already been taken.
Well, I've just never had, you know, I'm just a boring person. So I had this name. I used it every single time I needed a name. When I couldn't use it, I just put a title in front of it or something, yeah, so I could keep using it.
Mortician Ozone.
Yeah, whatever. And so I just don't. So I've never had it. I've never had a reason to change it, and it's just been the same forever.
Sweatshop Worker Ozone. Paperboy Ozone.
Sir Ozone.
Civil Engineer Ozone. I believe that's pronounced C. Rosa.
Oh, Captain. I used Captain for
Captain
a while.
Ozone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's one I used for a while.
Lieutenant Colonel Ozone.
I think, but again, the Profozone ended up being something I used because I think Doctor and Captain, both of them were taken.
Perfume Sample Spray Boy Ozone. Hey, that would even fit, you know, Perfumed Ozone. Like, that could be cool. Air Conditioner Salesman Ozone. Freon Junkie Ozone.
Are you done? Freon and Ozone don't mix, you know that.
I know. That's,
are you going to draw something from that?
Wait, I need one more to end on. I wasn't satisfied with that. I need one more. Academy Award Seat Filler Ozone.
Seat filler?
That's a thing, yeah. Okay. That's why anytime you look at the audience shots at any award shows, there's never any empty chairs. Because somebody gets up, there's seat fillers that watch for that and go out and take their seat.
Okay. All right,
I'm going to draw a thing. Podcaster Ozone. Which gets weird because then it's Podcastro Zone. Podcastro Zone. Oh my god! Then it sounds like it's a place where you're secretly cloning Fidel Castro. It's the Podcaster Zone.
Because there's only one person on the planet whose last name is...
No, there's two. His brother.
Just read it.
Oh my god. So, terrible things are happening in Belgium. Mm. Not, like, at this moment, but, you know, there have been bombings and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure.
And it's so weird for me, because I'm sitting here going, this is sad. I've spent years pretending that only two people are ever from there, and clearly there's more because they're all having to suffer through this. Yeah. Have you talked to Gert at all?
Sure, sure, yeah. That
How's he doing? Is he?
Oh, like, he's, you know, it's.
That would be freaky as hell for me.
I sent him.
Gert's our Belgian friend. We
yeah,
have
I
one.
I sent him an email that morning that I heard because it happened overnight, you know, for us, and I have seen him since and. Yeah, it's, you know, when it's where you're from, I mean, where he's from isn't really that close to Brussels, but, you know, his family travels, and I think internationally, you know, so they're going to go to that airport perhaps, and he had a friend from his town was working there that day, so he did have to, you know, or felt like he needed to call and find out, make sure everybody was okay, and they were, so that was good. But yeah, you know, whenever you hear, I mean, you know, just last week, you know, some sites in Pakistan were bombed and lots of people died, and that's terrible, and that's horrible. Mm-hmm. And it's not less terrible or horrible, but you just tend to think of your home, you know, where you're from, as a safe place.
Yeah.
So it just rattles you a little bit more. It's not because the people there are more important than the people elsewhere in the world. How you feel about your home, where you're from. And so, yeah, I think it rattled him and made him very sad, like it did for, you know, a lot of people.
Really, most folks.
So, but, I mean, he's fine. He's glad that everybody he knows is okay. But yeah. it's not a good situation over there, all throughout Europe, really. The whole a refugee crisis, and this, you know, the prospect of the EU breaking up because certain countries want to get out, and it's a bad situation. But I think it would be hard to be, you know, he's not like naturalized here or anything. You know, he's got a green card.
Yeah. And yeah.
He's here because he married an American woman, and they live here in Corolla.
That's why I'm here. That's why I'm in Iowa.
But I mean, I think that would be hard to be so far away from your family and from.
Okay, technically, I'm not in Iowa because I married an American woman. I'm in Iowa because I married a woman who loves Iowa.
But she's not from here either.
No. And to be fair, now I love Iowa too.
Iowa's pretty awesome.
Had she not been sort of insistent that we were going to live here forever, I if I hadn't met her, I would probably have ended up back in Oregon or something.
Yeah.
Or who knows, maybe I would have gone to Chicago and applied like Vollmer. Literally the only person from our call center who went to Chicago when it closed. All right then. I drew something.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
This is anonymous, lucky for them. Says, Oscars time. Any predictions?
Oh, you're kidding.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think this is finally Leonardo DiCaprio's year. I feel like, I haven't, full disclosure, I haven't seen The Revenant.
But I feel like he's
going to pull it off
this
year.
We've got to make predictions for the next Oscars.
Oh my God.
So, let's see. I guess we just make up a whole bunch of movies best that we think are going
to
come out.
Best documentary goes to The Making of Boyhood, which weirdly took longer than 12 years to make.
I have no idea.
No. But this is a thing, people. Like,
we bring this up a lot.
Yes.
You can't really.
Time-sensitive stuff. Now, it often does work. There are moments, but you're going to run into these. And so, okay, here's the real lesson. Not don't send time-sensitive stuff. Don't ever sign it when you do.
Well, they didn't, so.
Yeah, no, exactly. See, so somebody looks silly, but we don't know who. So we can't even make fun of them. But here's the other thing. I believe I just told you everything I know about what actually happened in the Oscars.
Yeah.
I know that Leonardo DiCaprio won, finally.
Oh, Spotlight won Best Picture, I think.
Oh, did? Really?
I think so.
And it's interesting, because I didn't know, I hadn't even fucking heard of Spotlight until the Independent Spirit Awards I was telling you about that Kumail and Kate McKinnon hosted.
Hmm.
And then I find out, oh, you know, it's about the uncovering of the Catholic scandal with the molestation. And I was like, wow, such a great topic I never, ever want to see the movie of. But now I'm like, because I went and I read the spoiler on it and stuff, I'm like, I might, because it's a political. We've had this talk on it before. It's way more a journalism movie, and I love those.
Mm. Which there aren't very many, and there also aren't very many good ones.
Yes.
But I like them too.
It's all the President's
All
Men.
All the President's Men. There you go.
State of Play, which is not bad. And I never saw the original TV show. It was a British TV show. But they made a movie of it. It was not bad. And it had a lot of actors in it stretching their range more than I thought. Most notably, Jason Bateman playing a sleazy pornographer.
That
was so awesome because it was not what he played every other time. But yeah, there aren't a lot of good political ones. I'm trying to think. I feel like I've seen more than that.
Well, I probably have too, but I can't remember any.
But I do have a thing. But it confuses me because I always think I like political dramas because of All the President's Men. And recently I'm like, maybe I like journalism dramas.
Yeah, I think that's.
Because I've seen a lot of political ones since then. And I'm like, I don't like them all so much. Some of them I like, but. Are you guys still watching House of Cards? I can't remember.
Yeah.
So are you caught up?
Yeah.
You did the fourth season?
Yeah, we just finished watching it.
Nerduck and Coffee are just in the fourth season, so there. We stopped after two, and we haven't really had an urge to go back, but. We also just officially got rid of The Magicians.
Mm.
For just that same usual thing. We had like six of them sitting there, and I'm like, oh, I'm not looking forward to that. And I'm like, well, then don't watch it.
Don't watch it.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of other ones going on. All right, we don't have enough time for another question.
Okay.
So we've got to vamp for... You play something and I'll dance.
Kimmy Schmidt's coming on Tuesday. Yes,
Unbreakable or Immaterial or...
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, we like the first season.
The Adamantium Skeleton Kimmy Schmidt.
So we'll watch that.
I've heard nothing but good things.
Well, it is.
But
not.
What I've heard has also made me wonder if I wouldn't. Oh, that's an interesting thing to note. I recently gave up a TV show that Trish has not given up.
Yeah.
Fresh Off the Boat, which we've talked about before on here.
Mm-hmm. Very popular.
Yes. And for good reason. There are some great performances on it. And it does hit some interesting notes in terms of Asian American experience that I think are valuable, or at least it did in the beginning. And yeah, some really great actors in it that do a really good job. It got to be too much about funny Asian stereotypes for me. Like, too many of the episodes are about how the mother is obsessed with her children's success, how she's really cheap, how she, you know, all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And it just, I sat there when we watched one recently, and I'm just like, the scale just tipped. Like, I just felt the, and especially, what I enjoyed most out of it was the fact that it's set in the mid-90s, and they really latch on to that, and so it's very sort of funny nostalgia for me in that sense, because it's like, oh my god, I remember that. And I was slightly older than the POV kid, but only slightly. So I kind of relate to all that stuff, and that was fun. But yeah, the level where it's just all about, isn't it hilarious that this... And it's almost always Constance Wu's character. I think Constance Wu is brilliant. Her character is such a fucking cliche. And it's so much about, look how this Asian mom is really strict and really cheap and really doesn't listen to her children. And, you know, and I'm like, okay. The last joke of that nature on there that actually made me laugh was something where somebody came home with a grade and they were like, why'd you get, and it said, and he looked really nervous and turned out it was like a B-, and they all go, and everybody in unison says, that's an Asian F. And I was like, that's a cute idea, but it's still playing on, that's the thing, I'm like, even give me new Asian stereotypes and I might be entertained.
But have you seen the most recent posting from Just Between Us?
I think so. Remind me what it was. As of this morning, I watched everyone.
Allison wants to change her look.
Is this the small boobs thing?
No.
No. Allison wants to change her look.
Color her hair, maybe. Yeah, you must not
have seen. Oh, no. It must have been, like, today.
Yeah, it was today.
Oh, well, why didn't you say that?
I don't... Because I thought you knew that...
No, because I usually check every day, but it's in the morning.
Mondays and Thursdays is when they post them, right?
Oh,
okay.
They hadn't posted it by the time this morning. Or maybe this morning I actually didn't check. Okay, no, I haven't.
Well, it wasn't early this morning posted. It was...
Yeah.
Yeah, you were probably at work.
No, but I... I haven't seen the latest one.
Never mind. There was...
No, the last one I remember was the small boobs one.
There was just a really...
Well, of course, now it's all getting weird because we got Sugar.
Yeah.
The dog.
The dog.
You can bond with the dog just less than... I totally get that. Famously, when I got Twiglet...
I knew that's what that episode was going to be about, but it was still hilarious to me.
When I got Twiglet, we were still not living together. I don't mean me and William. I mean me and Trish. Sorry, there was some gesturing involved. And I had a very serious talk with Trish about it. This happens. Twiglet is first and foremost my cat. Because I had a genuine, like, worry that he'd like her better than me. And so, like, I wasn't quite that ridiculously explicit about it, but I basically was saying, yeah, you're not allowed to bond with the cat more than me. And, of course, it's all super moot now. All, I mean, maturity and marriage aside, it's super moot because all of our cats were just very distinct. So I can't say they love one of us more than the other. Because they get in moods. There are times when Twiglet needs snuggles, and they have to be dad snuggles. They cannot be mom snuggles. And there are certain games that Ezzy will play with me and only with me, and certain games that she'll only play with Trish. So this stuff comes up. I think a friend was disturbed the other day that we do talk about them like we're their mom and dad.
That's not unusual for people.
No, but it doesn't mean it's not insane. On that note, we should wrap this up because this food smells really good. I'm getting hungry because I didn't eat for you people because I love you people. I could have starved to death, but I didn't.
It's probably more than me talking about politics than you eating part.
It was different people, different things. What was hilarious is I would ask about the other one, and they'd be like, no, that was fine. It's just that one. Like, it was. They'd be like, oh, I didn't even notice that. But so anyway, you guys should listen again next week. And also like us on Facebook, because why not? Really, what have you got to lose? And write the hat, themagicaltalkinghead.com. And that's pretty much it. Before you leave, I need you to help me hide. We'll just say two bodies.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.